The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Jerry and the Bandits. Sorry, I'm going to have to wait. Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Hello, Kath and Sa. I could tell you that Jerry and the Bandits were here in my office just a moment ago.
Really? Okay, good.
Rolene. That's how rumors got started.
Exactly. That's how rumors get started. Rolene, Ori Ansbacher, murder, the updates.
Okay.
Terrible, first of all, it's terrible story.
The worst way to end last week and start this week is with the murder of 19-year-old Ori Ansbacher. And I think all of our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers go to her family. And may her memory be a blessing and they know no more sorrow. But a lot of updates, because this is a big case that is been breaking moment to moment. And the latest update is that Arafat Irfaiya, the suspect, has been remanded into custody. Now, I just want to touch on something quickly. And Kath, you and I have spoken a lot about gag orders and when information is released and how it's released and why we have gag orders in place. This case has been under gag order, and the police and investigators have been very, very careful to keep a lot of information under wraps for a number of reasons. The first being, and most important, is respect for the family and the victim. They don't need to relive the grisly details of this murder all the time. And the second is because there are very, very sensitive details that investigators and police gather so that they can make the case against now 29-year-old Arafat Irfaiya, who has admitted to it and has admitted to the fact that it was nationalistically motivated, or what we would call, and we have confirmation from the Shin Bet, that it was terror motivated. In fact, he had been in custody before for trying to enter the Temple Mount with a knife, and he warned that he would come back one day with a knife. Now, there were a lot of rumors circulating on social media, a lot of very, very hurtful and grisly rumors. And really, the appeal to people, and the police actually came out in a very, very rare statement and asked people to please not share information on social media that was speculative unless it comes from reputable news sites. So unless the police have released the details, please, they have appealed. And as Rolene Marks, I'm appealing to you, the amazing community out there, unless it's official, please don't spread this. We are all angry. We are all emotionally affected. But please take into account the victim and their family, and also our security forces who are investigating and building a case against the suspect. So it has been made public that the victim, Ori Ansbacher, was raped. It's not news that we like to share, but some of the gag order has been lifted to include these details. The Shin Bet took Arafat Irfaiya, the suspect, to the site of the murder, where he did explain moment for moment what he did. It's a horrific, horrific case. The Justice Ministry are recommending that the death penalty be sought. Israel does formally have the death penalty in place, but to date it has only been used against one person, and that is the Nazi Adolf Eichmann. Nobody else has been executed. But there is a big call in the country over the last few days that the death penalty be used again. However, it brings up a whole other debate. Does this ensure that the terrorist gets what he wants, which is martyrdom? Unfortunately, he will be also receiving a salary from the Palestinian Authority, who do pay terrorists a monthly stipend.
Wow.
Is it my imagination, or is this case getting a lot more publicity than other terror attacks?
I think it's there's a precedent that has been broken here, Kath, and you're right. It is getting a lot more publicity. We are used to grisly and horrific terror events, but why this has also been under wraps and why that the authorities were very cautious to mention the word terror was that because there was a rape involved. Even though it wasn't made public until literally a couple of hours ago. And that's breaking with the normal precedent of how terrorists carry out attacks. Rape hasn't been part of their modus operandi. And I think this has taken this type of terror attack to a whole horrendous new level. You know, we don't know the circumstances which the two of them interacted, or you know, did they previously know each other? What happened that he was able to commit this crime? I suppose these details will only be released as the investigation continues and the gag order is lifted little bit by little bit. But again, I appeal to people, please, to respect the requests by our police and security forces to respect the gag order and not share things on social media unless they are official.
Rolene, I've got another question about this. What if it was criminal, right? I know that Shin Bet have said that it's nationalistically inclined. But what if it was criminal? The guy gets found out, and he knows that because if he says that it's nationalistic, his family are going to get paid by Hamas or
PA,
the Palestinian Authority or whoever it is. So how do you establish the truth of that? Because it's in his interests to make it look nationalistic when sometimes people are just criminal.
Ah, well, there you go. There you see, Kath, you've hit the nail on the head, and this is why it has been, the information has played out the way that it has. Initially, it was thought to be criminal, and you're absolutely right. He could say, well, it was nationalistic, but I think because he already has a record of, carrying or being found guilty armed with a knife and stating his intentions, it probably lent itself more to the effect that the Shin Bet have come to the conclusion. Also, you know, we don't know what kind of questions or what kind of information they glean out of him when they speak to him or interrogate him. But what is also sickening is that he smirked for the cameras as he was remanded into custody today. There's absolutely no remorse. There's absolutely nothing from him.
Gosh.
Ugly, ugly, ugly story. Rolene, moving on.
Very ugly. Ugly.
Talk to us about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and anti-Semitism.
I don't know. You know, in 2014, U.S. Congresswoman, one of the newly elected Congresswomen, mentioned that, you know, Israel has hypnotized the world. Well, clearly we didn't do a good enough job on her, but, she allegedly on Twitter, well, not allegedly, we do have we can all see the tweet for ourselves, but she tweeted when, somebody raised the issue of how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech. She replied by saying, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And, yes.
All right.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, this has created an uproar, and a lot of us have responded to her. And she has basically said that it's AIPAC. It's AIPAC have used monetary influence over U.S. foreign policy as far as Israel's concerned. Now, that just brings out all the ugliest of anti-Semitic tropes. Jews control the world. Jews, you know, control the politicians. Jews use their money to influence things. It's a horrible, one of the worst kinds of anti-Semitic stereotypes. And this is not the first time that she's come out using these tweeting and anti-Semitic comments. She's also a very, very vocal supporter of BDS. And, you know, she has raised the ire of many in the American Jewish community and also supporters that she is a, that perhaps somebody with her beliefs shouldn't be sitting or holding a position of Congress. And, that this kind of statements that she has said are absolutely uncalled for. She is alleged to have apologized for the 2014 comments, but, she's going to have to get a rather big shovel to dig herself out of the hole with this latest one.
Raleen, when one looks at the Nobel list, right, of all the Nobel Prize winners, whether it's for science or literature or whatever, there are, I think, Jews hold 30% of that list, or might be 40%. It's a very, very high number for a community, a global community of 0.01% of the world population. You know, I'm not sure that we aren't influential. How do we establish whether something is anti-Semitic or not anti-Semitic?
Well, I think we, in this case, we're influential by virtue of the fact of achievement.
Yes.
You know, we haven't bought our way to anything. You know, when we talk about Nobel Prizes, it's, we can talk about achievement, you know, and I'm going to use the word we achieve disproportionately, seeing that people like to use that word as far as we are concerned.
It is disproportionate of how many Jews are on there.
It is completely disproportionate. But to say that we buy influence, that is a whole different kind of argument.
Yeah, distinction.
Yeah.
Distinction heard.
Yeah. Raleen, unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it today. By the way, that tragic bus accident, that bus crash outside Mordi Inn yesterday.
Horrific.
What, do you know that one of the girls who died tragically on that was the daughter of... South African.
Can we please just wish her memory be blessed and no more sorrow.
Yeah. All right. That's where we leave it today. Thank you, Raleen Marks. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.